Dear Jesus, we thank you for who you are and for what you've done for us by dying on the cross for our sins. We just pray for this morning, dear God, that we bring you glory. We love you and pray. Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome to Cornerstone. We're glad you're here. Stand up as we worship this morning. God is good. Hey, you may be seated, but as you sit down, shake the hands of the person next to you.
We're excited you've joined us here at Cornerstone this morning. When you came in, hopefully you got to worship God. Lots of announcements, lots of things on there this morning. Just want to cover just a few things with you. First of all, we've Praising in the Park. That's the shirts we're wearing. Praising in the Park starts tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. So this is a community-wide Bible school for kids. We're doing a sports camp theme this year. It's always a whole lot of fun. This is the fourth, fifth year we've done it. But it's so exciting just to see everybody come together and to see this happen. Typically, we hope for a huge crowd. Typically, we have between 200 and 300 kids, for this. So we need lots of help and volunteers. If you signed up to help, if you would, after the service, go downstairs to the community room, which is this room right up here, the big room, and you pick up your T-shirt and get your assignment and make sure you're on the same page. We're asking everybody that's helping to get there at 4 o'clock tonight to help set up and get things going. So that's tonight. We're excited about it. We do have a special guest tonight. We have the Hokey Bird tonight in Fells Park. So we'll all be doing the Hokey Pokey together. So it is a sports camp. We've got Reverend Rage coming back to help us as well. It's a lot of fun. If you've not experienced this, I encourage you to pick up the phone, call your neighbors, invite them, bring them, get as many kids to this as you can, because it is a blast and they're going to learn about Jesus. And a great, great thing. Couple more things. We're having a back-to-school clothing closet drive. The information is on here. If you've got questions about it, you can see Miss Abby here behind me. But all sorts of things that we're going to be we're going to try to do this on August 11th and do a big clothing giveaway. So that's the details are in here about that. We've got our baptism coming up August 12th. Next Sunday, we're doing a special kids day during church, during Sunday morning. So we've got a lot of fun and special activities for the kids. So make sure you're here next week for that. Just all sorts of stuff coming up. So this is your guide to what's going on. As always, you can check the website for more details. We also have a big baby shower next Sunday after church. Okay, if you need details on that, see Bonnie. She can get you the info on that. So all sorts of things coming up. So if you're here visiting with us, would you do us a favor and just fill out a response card for us? Or if you've been here a while and you've never filled one out, that's our way of getting in contact with you and staying in touch with you. We'd appreciate if you just fill one of those out, and then you can drop it in the offering boxes by the doors, and we'd appreciate it. So lots of fun stuff this morning, and Chad, you can tell them why we're talking about Jesus this morning.
If you guys haven't noticed, there's a connection within this whole worship set that we have, because we're talking about Jesus today, which we should always talk about Jesus, but the whole set's all about Jesus, and I know he's done great things in my life, and no matter where you're at, no matter where you've been, Jesus is there just to love us and hug us, and he wants to be in relationship with us. This morning, just stand up with us as we continue to worship and lift the name of the Lord up.
Because of Jesus.
sing that again. So I shout out your name.
So I shout out your name. From the rooftops I proclaim that I am yours. I am yours. Here I am before you, falling in love and seeking your truth, knowing that your perfect grace has brought me to this place. Because of you, I freely live my life to you, oh God, I give. So I stand before you, God. I lift my voice, 'cause you set me free. So
that again, so I shout.
So I shout out your name. From the rooftops I proclaim that I am yours. I am yours. With all that I am, I place into your loving hands. I am yours.
chorus, beautiful Jesus.
Love you this morning, and we thank you for what you've done for us, Lord, by sending your Son to die for our sins, Lord, in our place for what we deserved. And I ask that with that knowledge, Lord, that you would just soak that into our hearts and that we understand the reality of that, and that we choose to accept that and live accordingly, Lord. We thank you for who you are, and we ask that you would be with the sermon. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Chair up here today because it's going to be a long day with Praising in the Park tonight. So I'm going to need all the energy I can get. So we're in this series called I Love My Church. And this is week 9 of the series. There's one more week after this. You can see it's kind of building up. And it's so far, I mean, we've covered all these great parts, these great characteristics of who we are at Cornerstone. Truth and grace and celebration and authenticity, transformation, generosity, commitment, teamwork. And this morning we're talking about focus. We're talking about focus and this idea of focus that we are all about Jesus. And I love this picture. Just to see people worship and express their praise to Jesus. You know, it's something that we're not ashamed of. It's something that we're, in fact, I mean, it's who we are. This idea of focus is really, out of everything we've talked about, it's really the foundational issue. It's the thing that everything else hinges upon. Because Jesus is at the core of why we exist and what we do. If we're confused about who Jesus is and why he came, then we might as well just close the doors and not even have church. That's how important this idea is. And I had a preacher tell me one time, if you can't think of what to preach on, you just preach on Jesus, because that's the central message of our faith, Jesus Christ. And this morning, as we talk about it, hopefully you'll get a better idea of not only who Jesus is, but how we should respond to that as believers and as some people here that may be seekers in Christ. There's one thing here, though, that I think every single person in this room, you have to intellectually understand. There's a few facts about Jesus that are just not contested. He lived in the first century Palestine. He had a group of followers. He was convicted and crucified under Pontius Pilate. And upon his death, a huge religious movement was started. Those are facts that no one can contest, because they were historical accounts attested to by not only what the Bible says, but many historians and archaeological finds. Those are facts that we know for sure. But this idea about who is Jesus? Who is Jesus really? I mean, that's the question that we have to ask ourselves. And as we talk about it this morning, there's a few things I want us to understand, because I think there's a lot of confusion about who Jesus really is. The first thing I want us to understand is Jesus was 100% human. It was 100% human. If you're following along in your notes on your worship guide, there's a place you can kind of you can take notes and follow along. There's also, if you've got your phone or your iPad, you can follow along on YouVersion. But Jesus was 100% human. Some of you, your idea of who Jesus is you've probably gotten from movies and TV. And your idea of Jesus is this guy with kind of sandy-colored hair, blue eyes. You know, every hair is in the perfect place, and he's real smooth. You know, Jesus is this smooth guy that always has the right thing to say, and, you know, he speaks in Shakespearean language, because that's what all the movies show him Peter, where thou goest. You know, I mean, and we think Jesus, that's the idea of who we think Jesus is. But in reality, Jesus was very different from that. My guess is he looked a lot like a first century Palestinian Jewish male. Dark skin, dark eyes. You know, I know you want Jesus to look like blonde hair, blue-eyed Brad Pitt, but that's really not what he looked like. Isaiah said he wasn't really even much to look at. People did not follow him because of his attractiveness. He was rough. He was a carpenter. I mean, Jesus, I think sometimes we get confused about him. John 1:14 says this, "The Word," referring to Jesus, "became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. The glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and of truth." Jesus is 100% human. And what Jesus experienced on earth is what we all go through. He experienced emotions. He got hungry. He got tired. He went to bed. He had to go to the bathroom. He had to deal with pain and conflict and temptation. And He died a very real human death. He was human in every way, yet He did not sin. And, you know, that's the huge difference between you and me and Jesus is perfection. I mean, you think about that. He was human. He was tempted, but yet He did not sin. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we did not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are." Just think about it. In every respect, in every way, He has been tempted, but it goes on to say, yet without sin. He was in the flesh. He was real. He was touchable. He was the Bible says He was the visible expression of the invisible God. So He could fully identify with us, and we could fully identify with Him. Every temptation that you've gone through, every emotion, He can relate to it. He can understand because He was 100% human. He was 100% human. And because He was 100% human, He could take our place. He could be the perfect substitute. It just wouldn't work if He came as a spirit or, I mean, you think He took our place. He took the penalty we deserve. And the only way He could do that was by being one of us. 1 John 3:5 says, "You know that He appeared in order to take away sins. And in Him there is no sin." So again, we see He was perfect. He was 100% human, yet He did not sin. And that kind of leads me to the second thing this morning, is not only was Jesus 100% human, He was 100% God. He was 100% God. Let's look at what John 1 says about Jesus before He came, to this earth. John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." And again, the Word there is referring to Jesus. "In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him not anything was made that was made." So we see here something that's really hard to wrap our minds around. Jesus was 100% human, yet He was 100% God. He was combined in one personality, the two natures. And I think when we step back and think about that, it helps us gain a little bit better understanding of how we should respond and how we should live. How many of y'all have brothers or sisters? You know, a lot of times, brothers or sisters are incredible at getting you blamed for something they did, right? Can you imagine, and go with me, can you imagine growing up with Jesus? Can you imagine, I mean, the first, imagine putting your place in James' shoes, right? Imagine, you know, something gets broke in the house. What's Mary going to do? James, who broke the vase? James, why'd you do that? It wasn't Jesus, right? He's perfect. I mean, James is going to get blamed for everything. Can you imagine always getting compared to perfection? Imagine in school, you know, coming home. Why can't you be more like your brother? I mean, you know, we don't think of Jesus in those terms, right? Because Jesus is, but He was real. He was in the flesh, yet He was perfect. He was 100% human and 100% God. And when we think about that, that's very important for us to understand. And I want you to really wrap your mind around this fact that Jesus was God. And 100%, I mean, He was fully human and fully God. How can we know He was God? Let me give you a few ways that we know he was God. One is miracles. I mean, think about the miracles that Jesus did. Not every day you see somebody raise people from the dead, turn water into wine, walk on water. Just go down the list. Those are supernatural events. They couldn't be fake. They were attested to by witnesses. People saw it. People reported about it. People shared about it. Those miracles, that's one way. Many of those miracles were in front of skeptics that later believed. Miracles is one way. And another way is just eyewitnesses. People saw how he lived his life. People saw his perfect life. Eyewitnesses are important when you go to a trial. Why? Because they testify to what they've seen and heard. In Jesus' life, you had people like Pilate say, I find no guilt in this man. The soldier at the cross said, certainly this man was innocent. The thief that hung on the cross next to him said, this man has done nothing wrong. So you had people that from a distance looked at Jesus and said, man, his life was perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. But not only you had people from a distance, you also had those people very close to him that looked at him. In the Bible, John called him Jesus Christ the righteous. Martha said, I've always believed you were the Messiah, the Son of God. And at one point in Matthew 16, Jesus even asked, who do people say that I am? And you see here, he says, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they say, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? That very pointed question, that very direct question, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. This is somebody that was with him day in and day out. And you may fool people from a distance, but you cannot fool them up close. And his closest disciples looked at him and recognized there was something different about Jesus. Because he was fully human, yet fully God. He wasn't just a good moral person. He wasn't just a good teacher. No, he was God. The third way we can know that he was God is fulfillment of prophecy. Man, if you look in the Old Testament, you see prophecy after prophecy that was fulfilled in the life of Jesus. It's like this fingerprint was created that only one person could fit into this image, this picture of what the Messiah would be. And the Jewish people, they were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for the Savior. So they had this list of prophecy. And then Jesus shows up on the scene. And you start going through the prophecies. He's supposed to be born of a virgin. Check. He was born in Bethlehem. Check. He rejected by his own people. Check. He's betrayed by one of his own followers. Check. He had to die by crucifixion. Check. You know, no bones would be broken. Check. You could go on and on and on and on and on. Through prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. And you look, and they're all fulfilled in one person. That doesn't happen by chance. That's not accident. You don't fake something like that. In fact, it's interesting from a statistical point of view. I think I've shared this before, but one statistician did this big study on how could one person fulfill all these prophecies. And he compared it to taking this entire state of Texas, taking quarters, and filling the entire state of Texas 2 feet deep in quarters. That's a lot of quarters. It's a whole lot of quarters. And then taking one quarter, painting it red, throwing it out of an airplane, you know, mixing it up, and then stick one person blindfolded and walk into Texas, and he has one chance to pick up the red quarter. Now, what's his chance of doing that? Texas is a big state. Have you ever driven across Texas? It takes a long time. That's a big place. Think about that. That's the probability of one person matching all the prophecies of the Old Testament. And yet that's what we find in Jesus. Incredible. I mean, mind-blowing here, the amount of prophecy that was fulfilled. You could look at Jesus' own claims. Not only is he described in the Bible as God, but he made the claim himself. John 10:30 said, I and the Father are one. He made no bones about it. He was very upfront and honest. I am. I mean, just he was relating to the Father. He said, I am Jesus Christ. I'm the Christ. I'm the one who has come. I am the Messiah. He made this very specific claim, so we have to deal with that. Was he crazy? Or was he honest? Was he really Christ? Because he claimed it. It's the claim that got him killed. You could keep looking. I think the best thing, the biggest reason we know that he is really God is the resurrection. That's the deal breaker. That's the biggie that separates Jesus from all other religious leaders. He predicted it, and then he did it. So those things really help us understand that Jesus is God. But the fact is, I think for most of us, we'd look and say, okay, I believe that. I'm in church. That's what I believe. But the next one is even where many Christians get tripped up. It's the next point I want to make is this idea about who Jesus is. It's where we stumble, and when the world looks at us and says, no, that can't be right. You're crazy. And it's one that I think is so important for us, because, again, if we're all about Jesus, we have to take what the Bible says and deal with it and look at it and understand, is this true? The third point I want to make this morning is the Bible says that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way, not a way to heaven. He is the only way to heaven. And some of you hear that and you think, now wait a minute here. I can understand this divinity thing, but the only way to heaven? That's crazy. Isn't that narrow-minded or bigoted or exclusive or intolerant? And maybe, you know, that just sounds judgmental. And if you're not thinking that, here's what I can guarantee you. That's what your neighbors are thinking. That's what your coworkers are thinking. That's what many people around you that you face day to day. If you're not thinking it, many people are. And so we have to look at this idea. Is Jesus the only way? Is he the only way? In the world we live in, man, there's so many options for everything. And people, as soon as you say, I believe what the Bible says, they think you're crazy. How many of y'all saw the story about Chick-fil-A in the news this week? Did y'all see it? Chick-fil-A is a Christian company. It's a private family-owned business. Dan Cathy's one of the presidents of the company. His dad, Truett Cathy, started it. Dan Cathy made the statement. He said, kind of unapologetically, he said, we believe in the biblical definition of a family, is what he said. And, you know, we're proud that we're all married to our first wives, and we believe in family, kind of what he said. So it ended up front page CNN, USA Today, everything else, how Chick-fil-A is bigoted, exclusive, anti-gay, homophobic, you know, all over, just because he said, I believe in the biblical definition of family. And they went on to say, you know, we treat every customer with respect and dignity. But just because you say you believe the Bible, the world is going to label you crazy. Are you all right? Are you okay with that? Are you all right with that? I mean, I get up here and I make a fool out of myself every week. I don't mind being crazy a little bit. But are you all right leaving this place into the world and people looking at you and saying, you believe the Bible? Seriously? Really? I mean, because that's what we face in this society we live in. People look at this idea of truth and they say, well, opinion is more important than truth. It doesn't really matter what I believe as long as I'm sincere. Let's look at what John 14 says. He said, Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In today's pluralistic society, this verse is tough. Because pluralism takes all religions and like throws them in a kaleidoscope and says, okay, you just kind of pick and choose what you want to believe. They're all just ways to God. All roads lead to God. But there's a problem with that. Because sincerity doesn't really, you can believe something sincerely and you can be sincerely wrong. I truly believe Hitler was very sincere in what he believed. Yet he was sincerely wrong. Osama bin Laden. He was very sincere in his beliefs. Now he's sincerely dead. You can be sincere and you can be dead wrong. Just because you believe something doesn't make it true. And in our society today, people say, as long as I believe it, I'm okay. It's up to me. I can determine what's true and what's not true. It may be right for you, but it's not right for me. And they'll use that for God's laws and God's commands and say, well, I can do this and you can do, it's because of it's just because it's up to me. I can determine what truth is. But we see here, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and their life. I am. There's no other way if no one comes to the Father except through me. He doesn't say, I am a way. He says, no, I am the way. And here's what I want you to understand. We look at that and some people think that's an exclusive statement, or it's a statement made out of arrogance or hate. And yet when, as a Christian, we look at that statement and see extreme love in that. That Jesus came to this earth 100% human, fully God, fully human. He came to this earth and He died a horrible death to make a way for us to be able to have a relationship with God. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, the Lord isn't really being slow about His promise, as some people think. No, He's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but He wants everyone to repent. He wants everyone to have a relationship with Jesus. It's an incredible love that He has for us. You know, I think a lot of people get confused because they think all religions are the same. They think they're all a path to God. And I think the reason people get confused is because under our Constitution, all religious viewpoints are equally protected. And that's a great thing. We have religious freedom and religious tolerance. But just because all religions are equally protected does not mean they're all equally true or equally valid. I could start a church today and call it the Church of Mike. And in that church, I could say, you know, if you want to be in this church, you've got to wear a t-shirt, blue jeans, and you've got to eat a steak dinner every Sunday for lunch. And I could go on and give a whole list of things you have to do to be in this church, and we could call it the Church of Mike. Does that mean it's right? Well, if I say it is, no. I mean, that's crazy, right? What makes something true? Maybe when it is true. That's how we know what truth is. And so when we look at the Bible, just because I believe something or I'm sincere about something doesn't mean it's true. We have to really go to the core and say, is this true? I like what Lee Strobel said in one of his books. He said, other religious leaders say, follow me and I'll show you how to find truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. Other religious leaders say, follow me and I'll show you the way to salvation. Jesus says, I am the way to eternal life. Other religious leaders say, follow me and I'll show you how you can become enlightened. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Other religious leaders say, follow me and I'll show you the many doors that lead to God. Jesus says, I am the door that leads to God. And what we see is the uniqueness of Christianity is rooted in the uniqueness of Jesus. So the ultimate answer, are all the religions the same? Is Jesus the only way? It is the answer, all religions are not the same, and Jesus is the only way. Acts 4:12 says this, there's salvation in no one else. There's salvation in no one else. God has given us no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. God's given us no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. So, I realize this is a lot of information. Here's the thing, though. If all this I've said is true, Jesus is 100% human. He's fully human. He's fully God. He's the only way to heaven. Don't you think that's going to change how we live? I found a short little video I found by Chip Ingram here that I'd like to show you just to help us understand why this is important.
One of the big issues, maybe the biggest issue in all the world in our day, is who's Jesus? I mean, we have seminars coming out by, quote, scholars who say, Jesus never said that. Jesus never really lived. They arbitrarily are saying that this part of the Bible isn't true, this part isn't true. And we've got a generation of people where this information is disseminated on college campuses questioning whether Jesus is really God, whether Jesus is really historical. And here's the worst one. Does it even matter? And I'm here to tell you that if Jesus did not come in space-time history, if He wasn't fully God and fully man, and if He didn't die on a cross, then your faith is empty. Christianity is not a philosophy. It's not a set of principles. It's not about how to be a good person and follow a good teacher. He wasn't a good teacher if, in fact, He wasn't God. Because He in His teaching said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father by me. He didn't claim just to be a good teacher. He said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. And then He went on the line and He said, everything that I've taught all the miracles that I've done, all the teaching about what it means to have a relationship with the Father, I'm going to verify. And over and over and over and over, as you read them in the Gospels, he told him in advance, guys, I'm going to die. 3 days later, I'm going to come back. And not growing up much with the Bible, you know, I just thought he sort of came back and said hi to everyone and then went to heaven. That's not true at all. For 40 days in a resurrected body, he had multiple times with his disciples. He ate. He was not a ghost. He didn't have some spiritual resurrection. Fully man, fully God. He died for your sin and mine. He walked on this planet. If you would touch Jesus, his pants, his robe would feel. You would wipe the dust off of his feet. He was real and he came. And if we lose that, we've lost the faith. He is the God of the Bible. And do the research. Find out what the Bible says. Do the archaeological research. Do the logical research. Do the philosophical research. I came to Christ as a skeptic. I didn't believe in the Bible. I didn't think Jesus was real. And I did a master's program at West Virginia University where I examined the evidence. And I did that as a part of my thesis. And I can tell you this, with an open mind, the deeper you dig, you will find that the scripture and the person of Christ holds up, let alone the testimony of followers who have given their life, not for an idea, not for a principle, but for a person who's transformed their life. Who Jesus is makes all the difference in the world.
He said, who Jesus is makes all the difference in the world. So how does it affect us as a church? If we say Jesus, we're all about Jesus, then how does it affect us? I want to share three things with you this morning. First of all, if Jesus is the way, then it kind of leads us into action. And the action I think it leads us into is we have to mourn for those without Jesus. We have to mourn for them. And obviously, this point is for those who are believers, who have a relationship with Jesus, who call themselves Christians. Mourn is this word that Jesus used in reference to what keeps us from God. So the idea here is to be concerned and caring for those people that don't know Jesus, to be compassionate for them. And let's just be honest. I think we all would, as believers, you'd say, oh yeah, I care about the lost. I want people to know about Jesus. But isn't it easy to just get caught up in routine? Isn't it easy just to forget about those people who don't know God and just play church? You can come each week and you know the drill. You get dressed and you come to church. You park in the same spot. You walk through the church. You get the same cup of coffee. You sit in the same spot. You get in the routine and you don't even think about those people that don't know Jesus. And church ends up becoming this holy huddle where everybody, you know, comes together and talks about how great everything's going in their life. And that's not what church is all about. Church is about broken people finding Christ. About broken people growing and being put back together by Jesus. And if you're a Christian, just let me ask you a rhetorical question. I really want you to think about this. This is a question I ask myself often. And the question is simply this. When was the last time you talked to somebody about Jesus? Think about it. Seriously. When was the last time you talked to somebody about Jesus? When was the last time you really pointed someone to Jesus? When was the last time that you grieved or you mourned or you were upset that somebody did not know Christ? When you walk up and down the streets, when you drive, you know, to work, when you walk up and down the halls at school, when you look around at the people around you, does it break your heart when you see people who don't know Jesus? You see, if we really believe Jesus is 100% human, He is 100% God, and that He is the only way, then it's going to change everything about our life. It's going to change how we interact with other people. Because if this is really truth, now go with me, if this is really truth, isn't it the most important thing in life, bar none? We're here on earth for this little sliver of time. Eternity is, I mean, it's mind-boggling. We're here for a little sliver of time. And we've got to make the most of that opportunity. So how many people are we going to bring with us? How many people are we going to share Jesus with? Are we going to be consumed about what we're doing. And just go with me here a minute. I mean, think about how you spend your time on a typical week. How much TV do you watch? I like TV. I don't watch a whole lot, but here lately I've been guilty. I've been watching the History Channel and TLC a lot. I kind of got hooked on like two or three different shows. Swamp People. Or Things in Them Woods, you don't know. You know, I mean, it's great. Then there's Mountain Men. Y'all watch Mountain Men? I could not believe the season finale last week. They left us hanging about what happened to Eustace. We don't know if he gets to keep the land or not. I mean, you watch that. You got all those shows like that. Ice Road Truckers, you know, we got to watch that because we got a local boy in it from Carroll County. You know, you got all those shows that we're just like, yeah, you know, and me and the boys, I mean, we're setting up the DVR and we're sitting there. Oh, man, we're getting excited about that. And did you see this? And we're like talking about it. And when's the last time we do that about Jesus? Like, oh, can you believe what I read in the Bible this week? This is awesome. Look at this. This is great. When's the last time that you felt suspense, that you got drawn into God's story and you said, man, I can't wait to tell somebody about Jesus. I can't wait to tell somebody about what I learned. Again, if this is the most important thing in life, why are we so afraid to talk about it? Why are we so afraid to share it? Why are we afraid of what other people think about us? Look, I'll just go ahead and be serious with you for a minute. You're crazy anyway. Everybody else knows it. You might as well open your mouth and prove it. Don't be ashamed. Be bold. Be courageous. Share about Jesus. People need to hear. People want to hear. They did another study a while back. It was like 80% of people are open to somebody talking about Jesus with them. 80%, I mean, they're waiting for somebody to come and tell them about Jesus. Say, you know, I don't know how many times that I've ran into people and said, you know, well, have you heard the gospel? Do you know about Jesus? And, you know, no, but I would love for somebody to tell me. Nobody, we find that hard to believe, but yet right here in the Bible Belt, in the South, there are people who have never heard the gospel. The people who have never heard the gospel. That their sins can be forgiven, that Jesus Christ was real. He was 100% human. He was 100% God. That He is the only way to heaven, and here's how. Confess your sins and give your life to Him. They have not heard that. It's our job to tell them. So, first of all, if Jesus is the way, if He's the only way, we've got to mourn for those who are lost. We've got to have compassion. We've got to have passion, too. Not just compassion, we've got to have passion to tell them. Second thing. If Jesus is the truth, then we've got to make the pursuit of truth a priority. And this applies to you whether you're a Christian or not. If you're here this morning, you say, I'm really on the fence, I'm not sure, then this is my challenge to you. Make the pursuit of truth a priority. And here's why. I'm not afraid of what you're going to find. I'm not covering anything up. And just like Chip Ingram said in that video, he went out seeking with an open mind, what is truth? Is Jesus really who He said He was? And I've been through the same thing myself in college. I went through a period where I said, okay, is this really, this is crazy. Is this a fairy tale or is it real? And I dove in and I had a group of friends and we talked and we prayed and we looked at the Bible and we said, is this real or is it not? And we came to the conclusion, because we were open, we studied, we looked at it, we said, this is life changing. And it's funny, that small group of friends that I met with and we talked, and almost all of them are pastors now. None of us, we were all like going into school to be engineers. We end up pastors. It's funny how God does that when He gets hold of you. But if Jesus is the truth, you've got to make the pursuit of truth a priority. You've got to take it seriously. You've got to be, again, if this is really, if Jesus is the only way, if we're all about Jesus, then you owe it to yourself to make sure you know what you believe and why you believe it. To stand firm in your faith. And Matthew 7 tells us why. It says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. I'm not afraid of what you find if you go looking for answers. But here's the key. Don't go to look. I mean, the world, there's plenty of people out there trying to disprove the Bible. But you've got to go into it with an open mind, truly seeking truth. Look to the Bible. Look at what it says. Look to the changed lives. Look to all the things I talked about, the miracles, the the prophecy, all those things, they all point us back to the fact that Jesus is God. So I'm not afraid. I want to challenge you to dig in, to pursue truth. Study the resurrection. You know, just jump in and look at it. And here's the thing I also want us to know is when we really do this, and some people, and you're talking about this, and you're pursuing truth, and some people will just believe in Christ without really, they don't need much evidence. They'll just say, yeah, I see something in your life. I don't have it. I want that. Some people want proof, and they want all. Here's the thing. Jesus himself, if you look in John 10, it says the people surrounded him and asked, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, you need to tell us plainly. Jesus replied, I've already told you, and you don't believe me. The proof is in the work that I do in my Father's name. There's going to be people who we share Christ with in this world who reject Christ, who've heard it and who just choose not to believe it. Everybody didn't believe Jesus. People walked away from Jesus. And he was perfect. I mean, again, he was perfect, and yet people rejected his message. Some people are going to reject you. You've got to be okay with that. You know, our job is just to be witnesses, to testify to what we have seen and heard. So I want to just challenge you to do that. Pursue truth. Don't be afraid of finding truth. The third thing, if Jesus is the way, if Jesus is the truth, and now if Jesus is the life, we have to move from a religion to a relationship. We have to move from a religion to a relationship. Christianity is about a person. It's not about a denomination. It's not about a church. It's about having a relationship with the God who created you and with the God who loves you. You know, above religion, you could write routine. Because I think that's a good word. It's what we fall into. We fall into a routine. We go through the motions. We do what we're expected to do. We obey God out of obligation instead of out of desire. And that's really the difference between a routine and a relationship. Do we have a desire to obey God, to follow God? Or do we just do it out of obligation and routine? I'll be honest with you. My relationship with God is a lot like a roller coaster. You know, some weeks are great, and some weeks I spend way too much time arguing with God. But we have a relationship. I talk to God. I listen to Him. It's a two-way street. It's communication. I mean, that's the way that God intends that we grow close to Him, and we allow Him to speak into our lives and to change us and to transform us and to guide us and to give us wisdom. That's what a relationship is. You know, some of you here are just religious. Church has become routine. God is just another one of those things that you do on a weekly basis. And I want to challenge you to break from that and move from a religion to a relationship. I want to encourage you to develop a relationship with Him that is growing, that is authentic, that is genuine, that is real. Move away from the trappings of routine. Embrace Him as a Savior and as friend. You know, Paul was able to say, yes, everything else is worthless. In Philippians 3:8, he said, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, as rubbish, so that I could gain Christ. Everything else is like garbage. Nothing compares to Christ. When it's all about Jesus, we get to that place where we realize, man, why am I putting so much effort and time and energy into things that won't last? Why am I not passionate about Jesus? Because it's all about Him. And it affects us as a church, because as a church, we've got to be able to say, everything we do, where's Jesus? Yeah, we want to help people. We want to serve people. We want to feed people. We want to clothe people. But how do we share Jesus with them? That's their greatest need. That's their big... I mean, when we do praising in the park, we're going to have a lot of fun this week. But at the end of the day, if we don't clearly present Jesus, then we have failed miserably. Do you understand that? That we're... I mean, our focus, we're unapologetically, as a church, we are focused on Jesus. When we go to Nicaragua and do mission trips, I mean, we go and see some poverty-stricken areas, and we feed people and we give them clothes, but we clearly present Jesus to them. Why? Because there is a better way to live. There's new life in Christ. There's hope in the midst of a crazy and chaotic world. And that hope is found in Jesus Christ. Everything we do, and I hope you could ask this in your own life too. When you talk about the things your family do. When you go on vacation, say, well, where is Jesus in our vacation? If Jesus is the center of your life, then you've got to be able to ask that. How are we presenting Jesus? How are we sharing Jesus? How are we demonstrating Jesus through the way we live our life? Romans 10 is very clear. There's a lot of people that are waiting to hear about Jesus, and we are called to be the voice. We are called to bring them the good news. How can they hear if someone never tells them? That's us. That's you and me. That's when we leave this place. We're encouraged, we're equipped, we're empowered to go share Jesus with this world we live in. I just want to challenge you, you know, when we really think about this, when we move from a religion to a relationship, it's not about what happens for an hour on Sunday morning. It's about what happens when you leave this place. It's about what happens in the daily interactions with your friends and coworkers and family. Are you sharing Christ? How can people see Christ in you? In preparing this message, I kept thinking back to a video I saw by Francis Chan. It's a video called Just Stop and Think. And it's a long video. You can go to the website and check it out. It's 15 minutes. But in the video, he presents a message about why we should believe in Christ. But then he kind of switches gears and talks about our relationship with Jesus. And I've got a short clip from it here that I want to end with this morning from the video. So let's play.
So you have to make a choice. See, God right now wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to forgive you. Regardless of anything you've done in your life, He wants you. But you've got to choose to accept Him. Now, there's a lot of people who think that they're good, think that they are quote-unquote good people. The problem is that we're not going to get to judge ourselves. It doesn't matter what you think about yourself. It's a matter of what does God think about us. It's not like there's this little old man at the end of your life that's going to stand on this, you know, little pedestal and go, hey, what'd you think of yourself? And you go, oh, I thought I did a pretty good job. No, when the Bible talks about God and what we face up to at the end, it says that there's this massive God on this throne, and even the angels are covering themselves up with their wings and screaming out how holy He is. We stand before that God, and it's that God that's going to look at you, look at His law, and I'm telling you, you're not going to come out innocent. It's not this partially guilty. No, it's either guilty or innocent, and we're all going to be found guilty. The thing is it's that same God that's saying, I don't want to punish you. I want to forgive you. I want a relationship with you. What I'm talking about isn't a religion. It's not about joining some cult or religion. It's just talking to your Creator, having a relationship with Him. In fact, God says, we become His bride. It gives that picture of a bride. It's a picture of intimacy. It's a picture of love. It's a picture of a relationship that's greater than any relationship we can experience as human beings. It's intimacy with our Creator. It's almost as though the God of the universe is proposing to you right now, saying, look, I love you. I want to forgive you. I want to spend eternity with you. Man, I'll wipe out everything. He says He'll forgive you as far as from the east is from the west, all the way to the depths of the ocean. He goes, man, that's where all the garbage from the past is. We'll just put it behind us and let's start this new relationship. God's begging you. It's like He's on a knee, you know, handing you this ring and saying, man, will you take me? Will you enter into a relationship with me, Almighty God? And you have to say, I do. That's it. It's saying, yes, God, I do. Man, if you hear anything I'm saying, don't go running to some minister or this or that. Just get on your knees or just go get alone with God and just say to your Creator, you know what? I love you. I know that I've messed up, but now I understand your Son paid for that. That blows my mind. I want to spend eternity with you. I want to begin this relationship. I want to follow you. But don't just say it. Don't just say, okay, God, I'll follow you, because I tell you, there are people all across America right now that say, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I follow Him. And then you look at their lives and it doesn't show. Jesus said, if you really knew me, you would obey my commands. I mean, it's this idea of trust, saying, you know what? I trust this God. He's done everything for my good. He's given me life. He's given me his laws. He's given me forgiveness. And so I believe his commands are going to be for my good. See, that'll show by your lifestyle. Look, this isn't my message. This is the message of the Bible. It's God's love letter to you. See, these aren't just random thoughts that you can casually give or take. Your whole eternal destiny rides on this. And you can know today for sure that you're going to heaven. It's not Jesus plus good works. It's not Jesus plus rituals. It's just Jesus alone. It's not Jesus or something else. God's provided one way to escape his wrath and enjoy friendship with him forever. The God of the universe is crazy about you and screaming out for your attention. So don't just walk away and go back to your routine. This could be the greatest day of your life. Stop and think.
Say that I am. I think that's the question that Jesus would ask each one of us here today. Who do you say that I am? Do you really believe that I'm God? Do you really believe that I am who I said I was, the Messiah, the Savior of the world? And if so, then are you living it? Are you showing it by your actions? Are you showing your obedience? Do you have a relationship with the God of the universe? He is crazy about you. He wants to have that relationship with you. He's offered that invitation. He's waiting for each and every one of us to respond to that. And I don't know if you've been in church 3 years or 5 years or 10 years, but I'm afraid so many people are in church just going through the motions, and they've missed the whole aspect of having a relationship with the God who created you. This morning, I want to invite you into that relationship. In 2 Peter, it says, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We've received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. This morning, God is calling you to Him. I'm going to ask that everybody, you just bow your heads right now. We've talked about Jesus. We've talked about a lot of facts. But we have to take those facts and we have to act upon them. And I believe Jesus is calling many people here in this room this morning into a relationship with Him. If you have never put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, if you have never surrendered your life to Him, if you have never entered into that relationship that He has asked about, this could be the most important day of your life. This could be the moment in time that changes everything. I want to just, if you're there this morning, if you say, I've never done that, but this morning I want to make that choice to accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior, to put my trust in Him. Would you just slip up your hand this morning, just so I could know, just so we could be praying for you? Anybody here this morning? All heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody? See, this is the most important question of our entire life. Who is Jesus? Dear Heavenly Father, my heart breaks for people who don't know Jesus. I pray as a church that we can be all about Jesus, that we can boldly share what Christ has done in our own life, that we can boldly share the truth that's found in the Bible. Lord, I pray for each and every person in this room that they have a relationship with You, that they would quit holding on and holding back and instead surrender completely. I pray that as a church, we can just continue to tell people about Jesus. that we won't be ashamed. That we can proudly say we're all about Jesus because we've got a focus. Lord, we thank you so much for what Jesus did on the cross. He died to take the punishment that we deserve. Lord, I'm thankful that you love me so much that you want to have a relationship with me. It's mind-boggling to know that the Creator of the universe cares about me personally as an individual. You care about each person in this room. Lord, this morning, as we close and as we lift up our praise to you, may we have compassion for those that don't know you. May we pursue the truth with an intense passion. And may we move from a religion into a relationship with you day by day, moment by moment, where we're seeking you and seeking your ways. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand up with me as we close out and sing? We're going to sing about Jesus. And hopefully, just after even thinking about what we've talked about this morning, you can sing with more intensity and more passion. And not only that, you can leave this place with more compassion to those people who don't know Jesus. We have an urgent mission. We've got a short time on earth that we're here. Let's take it seriously.
Thank you for dying on that cross for our sins so that we could be free. And dear Lord, and it's by your blood, dear God. I mean, you bore the pain of our sin. We love you, Lord. And we just pray for these next 3 days in Phelps Park, dear God. We pray, dear God, that the kids that are going in and going to be a part of this, dear God, these from Galax, from Carroll County, may they feel your presence there, dear God. May they find you, dear God. May they seek you. I pray for all the adults that are involved. May their lives be changed also. We love you, Lord. Let me pray. Amen. Have a good week.